This is the Love That Album Compilation Edition, covering soundtracks, tribute albums, best ofs, box sets, and more.
Ladies and gentlemen, how do?
Eric Romita here with another Love That Album Compilation Edition. This time around, we're going to be talking about the dedication, the very best of Thin Lizzy, a best of compilation from the band Thin Lizzy. And we're going to be talking about the Damned's Machine Gun Etiquette 25-year anniversary special edition. And I am going to start with the Damned. Who are one of my favorite of the original run of UK punk bands. I personally enjoy them more than the Pistols or the Clash. I know that's heresy in some circles, but I find them to be the better of the bands. I also find them to be the band that I keep going back to more and more. They were right there in the fold with the Pistols and the Clash at the ground zero of punk rock. They had dabbled a little bit with pub rock, which is something I know I've talked about on the show before. And their first record, Damned, 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 is a classic of the genre. It's definitely much more garage rock influenced than most of their contemporaries. They had a fondness for covering the Stooges and the MC5, and definitely also had a fondness for glam. They definitely saw the maybe the funner side of punk rock. They were maybe a little poppy, a little bit more like the Ramones in that way. And for me, their third album, Machine Gun Etiquette, was the best that they ever released. I do like a lot of their other records. However, I believe that Machine Gun Etiquette was the one that really captured them, kind of cementing their place in punk history. They weren't going to be just an also-ran in the annals of punk, which unfortunately the history has left them as, but I don't think the music does. A little bit of the history. The band was formed in 1976 and quickly gained a reputation playing with the Pistols and the Clash and other bands that ilk. Their first album, Damned, 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 is, like as I said, is a classic. Their second album, Music for Pleasure, is a very strange record in that it's not very well loved, although it was produced by Nick Mason of Pink Floyd, and definitely shows them being a little more willing to get away from the loud, fast garage rock of Damn, Damn, Damn. Unfortunately, I don't think the songwriting quite holds up. There's a couple of great songs on there, but overall, I don't think the album is as great as most people could have or wanted it to be. It does have a great cover, though. I highly recommend looking up that cover. So, following the failure of Music for Pleasure, the band broke up. They were one of the first bands to release a full-length album. They were one of the first bands of the punk movement to tour the United States. They were also one of the first bands to break up and then get back together. And when they did get back together, it was with a lineup change. And initially, their new bass player was going to be one Lemmy Kilmister of Hawkwind and Motorhead. And there was actually, they were going to call themselves The Doomed for a while. And Lemmy actually played a track or two with them on a single, or recorded for a single. And never really made it onto this album. Instead, bassist Algie Ward of the Saints came on board to play with the band, and this led to the Machine Gun Etiquette sessions in 1979. Now, this is the compilation edition of Love That Album, and me talking about a single album doesn't really fit into that format. However, Machine Gun Etiquette 25th year anniversary edition is more of a compilation than it is the actual album, because the initial album has 11 tracks and this CD has 21 tracks, including one video clip for the song. And the reason I'm talking about this is not only is it a great album that I think people should check out, but it is a perfect example of how at a certain point in time record labels were repackaging albums that they knew had a following, adding bonus tracks, adding live tracks, and essentially in many cases taking the original album out of circulation. I had a discussion with a friend of mine a couple of years ago about how his wife was frustrated that she could not get the Ramones albums without the bonus tracks that have been amended to them by Rhino Records. So why don't we take a listen to a couple of the songs off this album, and I'll come back and I'll talk a little bit more about Machine Gun Etiquette.
Burning the books, the church is in ruins, the priests hang on hooks, the radio's on ice, the telly's been banned, the army's in power, the devil come in!
without even intending to. All of the tracks I just played were actually from the original release of the album. I didn't play any of the B-sides or the singles or whatever that were amended to this album. So for tracks 1 through 11 are the album as it was released in 1979. The rest of the tracks include a couple of different versions of songs from the album, produced or remixed by somebody else. There's a B-side for a song called Suicide, which is actually quite good. There is a just an instrumental version of Smash It Up Part 2. There's Smash It Up Part 4, which not previously been issued. There's a song called Burglar. There's a cover of Ballroom Blitz. And then there is a video clip for the song Plan 9 Channel 7 as well. Now, I previously had, and I still might around here somewhere, have a version of Machine Gun Etiquette that also included a couple of B-sides and tracks that weren't on the original album, including a cover of White Rabbit and a great little song called Rabbit Over You. Now, I'm not sure what I make these days of this kind of late 90s, early 2000s attempt to cash in on some of this music. I mean, now, of course, we're in the age when things are being reissued on vinyl again, and you'll get the deluxe download. And I think deluxe is what they tended to call these things, the deluxe reissue, including all this bonus material. And on the one hand, yes, a compact disc does have more space, and you can add some of these things, but I don't know that, especially in this case, that any of the additional songs are worth it. What is worth it is the liner notes, which go into a lot more detail about the conditions under which the album was recorded and when and where and all of that kind of stuff. So, at the end of the day, Machine Gun Etiquette's one of my favorite albums, and I highly encourage everyone to check it out. And don't worry about trying to find the 25th anniversary edition. If you can find the previous reissue on CD, pick that up, or the LP, for that matter. But in just a minute here, we're going to move on to Thin Lizzy, but I'm going to leave now with at least a little bit of Smash It Up's Part 1 and 2, which is the last song on the original issue of the album. You know, recently there was a controversy with Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden talking about punk music being rubbish and how they can't play their instruments. And Captain Sensible, the original bass player and then guitar player for The Damned, came out and said, "I dare Iron Maiden to play Smash It Up the way it was written and tell me how we can't play our instruments and it's not musical." So this is Smash It Up. Check it out, and we will be back with some Thin Lizzy on the other side.
I'm gonna smash it up to the nothing land. had been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. Chick that used to dance a lot. Every night she'd be on the floor shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her.
So that's the classic. The Boys Are Back in Town from Thin Lizzy, who were and are a Irish rock band from Dublin, formed in 1969. Primarily were at their peak during the 1970s, during what is usually thought of as being the classic rock era. You know, you think of Thin Lizzy, you're also thinking of bands like Deep Purple or Queen or Suzy Quatro, those kinds of bands. The ones that live on, at least in America, on classic rock radio. And a song like The Boys Are Back in Town is their best-known song. Well, at least it was for the longest time. Their other big hit, or one of their other big hits, Whiskey in the Jar, was of course covered by Metallica and found a whole new audience. And then there's Jailbreak, and a little lesser-known song, Searching for an Alibi, which is one of those like second or third tier songs they play on the classic rock radio occasionally when they're going to play something different. And the reason I'm talking about Thin Lizzy is because they're an interesting band. They're definitely worth checking out. They had a certain soul and a certain sound and a certain ambiance that so many other classic rock bands did not have. Their original bass player and lead singer, Phil Lynott, did die in 1986, and the band has carried on in various formations since then, but obviously without Lynott's kind of heart and soul, it's not been the same. So the reason I want to talk about this is, especially when it comes to classic rock, that there are these, and I hate to even use the term second and third tier bands, but that's basically what they've become in the public's consciousness. Everybody knows that about the big albums from The Stones and Queen and, you know, Led Zeppelin, you know, AC/DC, that kind of stuff that is the mainstay of, at least in America, classic rock radio. But then you have these other bands, like Blue Oyster Cult, like Thin Lizzy, that occupy this weird space where they had a huge hit or two, and then they didn't really get a lot more a lot more love from the masses or the public at large. And a greatest hits compilation is really the gateway into checking out if there is anything beyond The Boys Are Back in Town or whatever else. And in the case of Thin Lizzy, I can report that there is more to the band, and their albums are worth your time to check out. But let's hear a little bit more from them, and I'll come back and give you a few more thoughts about it.
Some of us won't survive. See, the boys and me mean business, busting out dead or alive. I can hear the hound dogs on my trail. All hell breaks loose, alarm and sirens wail. Like the game, if you lose, go to jail. Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak.
Save.
should have took that last bus home, but I asked you for a dance. Now we go steady to the pictures. I always get chocolate stains on my pants. And my father, he's going crazy. He says I'm living in a trance. But I'm dancing in the moonlight. It's caught me in its spotlight.
It's alright.
Dancing all right. In the moonlight. On this long, hot summer night.
Dedication, the very best of Thin Lizzy, shows exactly what a very best album should. That here are the hits, here are the lesser-known songs that people hold in regard for whatever reason, the cult songs, and that they are oftentimes as good as the hits, as the well-known, well-overplayed tracks. I think it's really the soul, Phil Lynott's soulful voice and his kind of haunted delivery that make the music more than just a kind of standard 70s hard rock or above average 70s hard rock. Definitely, if you have only heard The Boys Are Back in Town and you like what I've played besides that song, this compilation would be the perfect place to start checking out their catalog. If you're looking for an album of theirs, I will recommend... Let me make sure I get the title right here. Black Rose, a Rock Legend from 1979, which was my introduction to the band, album-wise. I was recommended it about 15 years ago when I was sitting in a bar in Oslo, Norway, talking to the friend of a musician that we were visiting. And I went out and bought a copy, and I've held on to that record for years and years. It's not that it's got any of the great hits on it. Waiting for an Alibi is probably the best known song, but it's a solid late 70s hard rock record, the kind of thing you can put on and listen all the way through. Okay, we're going to wrap it up with just a little bit more of Thin Lizzy, and catch everybody next time.
They're living and dying down in old Chinatown, in Chinatown. You better look around, man, you don't stand a chance. If you go down in Chinatown, man, you don't stand a chance. If you go down in Chinatown, laughing and crying, not laughing, they are crying, 'cause they won't be back. Oh no, you don't come back, back from Chinatown. Man, you don't stand a chance if you go down in Chinatown. Man, you don't stand a chance if you go down in Chinatown. Chinatown, it's a different scene. There are people there, they are so obscene. If you see what I mean, then they've sold you the dream. Down in Chinatown, what goes up, it must come down. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.